This is a year of Isaiah 55 for us. We've gone through it a couple of times. Mal is going to put a part of the scripture of Isaiah 55. This is our scripture for the year. This is what God spoke. This is when God speaks, you obey. Amen? If you do it God's way, you will get God's results. And it says here, well, let me just back up, that like the rest of this year, we'll be looking at certain aspects of life, and we're going to be looking at, what does God say about it? What does God say to do about certain things? Because if you do it God's way, you get God's results. If you do it your own way, or if I do it my way, I'll get my own results. They may look good at times, they may even bless people at times, but it doesn't mean that's God's way. But if you do it God's way, we will get what God wants us to get. And I think that's vitally important for every single one of us, for us as a church. Because we can't say to God, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. God says, I told you the way to do it, son. And you didn't bother doing it my way. Even if that way looks different than all the popular books or all the popular preachers. If it's God's way, it's God's results. And we looked at this scripture during the year. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. No, your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow comes down from heaven, and do not return without it watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I've sent it. Amen. That the word of God has results. When it's the word of God into a situation, it will bear the fruit of what God wants it to bear. And the last couple of weeks I spoke on doing things, certain things God's way. We talked about fasting. We talked about praying. We talked about, look, if you do the way God says in the Bible, you will achieve what God says he wants you to achieve. We talked last week about, look, it's all about grace. All of this is by him, for him, and to him, and through him. The breath that you've just breathed in is by the grace of God's. Everything that we do, everything that we accomplish is by the grace of God. We are saved on our way to heaven. Why? Because of the grace of God, which is activated by faith. You come into salvation, into the grace of God. Why? Because you believe in what he has said in his word. It's all hinged on what he's already said. So I want to finish this month. And we're going to enter into doing something God's way next month in a different topic. But what I want to say is, God's way is God's word. It's God's word. If God says it, he will do it. Everything begins with the word. Everything begins with the word of God. Everything. If you want to turn to Genesis 1. Many of us will know it. The Bible, Genesis, is called the book of beginnings. Everything that begun with the word of God. Listen to what it says. In the beginning, chapter 1, verse 1. God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, the word of God. Everything began. It was null and void and empty. And then God spoke, let there be light. And the word of God came out of the mouth of God. And there was light. God's word, God's way, God's results. It began in the beginning with the word. Everything that you see in existence is because of the word of God was spoken. And in fact, it goes on to say in John, in the beginning, the Gospel of John, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in God, in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him, speaking of Jesus, who is the Word of God. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And anything that was made by Him and through Him. And in fact, Hebrews says that the whole world is being held together by the Word. Everything that was made is made by God as He spoke the Word. And everything that is in existence is being held by the Word, which is Jesus. It begins with the Word and ends with the Word of God. It doesn't matter. That's why I get annoyed. And you heard me since clowns come up with stuff. The world is ending 21st of December. I don't mind the world getting frantic about that because they don't know the Word of God. But it bugs me to death when Christians get, oh, the world is ending. Says who? It ain't over till He says it's over. Amen. And Jesus says no one knows the dates or the times. Nobody. And it bugs me. I'm like, you don't know your Bible. You don't know who you're trusting in. If you're going to believe some clown that comes up with something, or any old video you see on YouTube or on the internet, oh, because such and such says, I don't give a rip who says it. And neither should you. And it shouldn't allow us, because it's all designed to bring us into fear. And where there's fear, there's no faith. Because fear is the enemy of faith. But faith is, okay, whether the world exists or doesn't exist, I belong to Him. I belong to Him. Whether I live or die, I'm His. Amen. And so are you. Everything begins with the Word. That's why the Word of God is so important. The prophets in the Old Testament stood up, thus saith the Lord. They were using in the old King James language. They were saying, this is what God says. And they would make the proclamation or the declaration, not underneath their own thinking, but they would preface it with, this is what God says. Listen, O Israel. Listen. Remember 2 weeks ago we talked about Hezekiah, and the prophet says, listen, King Hezekiah. This is what God says. They didn't just come up with, it's a good idea to do this. Because that's going to get our own results, or no results, or certainly results that doesn't result in giving glory to God. Moses, I love reading Moses' stuff. Moses was a great friend of God. Moses was a great worshipper. You read through the Old Testament enough with Moses, and you realize nearly every time God spoke to him, he got down and worshipped. The Word of God came to him. And he didn't just run down the mountain and say, hey, I'm writing a new book. He always bowed down and worshipped God. And I guarantee it was out of that intimacy as a friend he heard the Word of God quicker and easier. Because intimacy always brings hearing the voice of God clearer. Intimacy always brings us closer. Oh, I know that voice. There's Penny going out the door. 100 babies could cry. I guarantee Patrice and Rob will know her voice. 100 kids could be saying, da, da. I wouldn't hear my kids because I'm deaf. No. But I pick my kids' voice out of 100 kids screaming. Why? Because we're intimate. I know my kids' voices. 100 dads could say, come here, you. And they wouldn't even prick up their ears. Maybe give a glance. You're not my dad. But because they know the intimate sound of that father's voice. Oh, that's me dad calling me. I need to go there. And Moses heard God. And God always, out of speaking and God hearing God, he always worshipped. Because worship is that place of intimacy with God. Worship is not having a list saying, God, can I have this, have this, have this, have that. Worship is like all about Him. It's all about you. And you're so great, Lord. And you're wonderful. And when every time your mind or your heart gets tempted to ask Him for something, because He comes when we call on Him, we go, oh, yeah, now you're here. Can I have this and do this? Will you do that? And bless Him and the Lord. That's the temptation. Worship is all of Him. And out of worship, we're open to hear the Word of God.
And God says to Moses, I want you to build something for me. And he said loads of things to Moses. But he says to Moses, I want you to do it exactly the way you hear me to do it. Now, God is a tremendous interior designer. He's out interior, not only interior, look at the world. Look at the canvases that he paints across the world of beauty. Look at the expanse of the sky. But he says to Moses, I want you to build a tabernacle, a house for me. And God went into details. Now he says, do everything exactly as I told you. Exactly. Now you think, you know, what God probably said, you know, put big beams in and whatever. God went down to the hoops for the curtains. Exactly, make them this way with this material. Exactly. See the poles. I want the poles this length going this way. Do exactly as I told you. And Moses went down and he commanded the people to do exactly it the way God. There was no cutting corners. Moses, the last thing you need to do is to say, "I sure that will just do." You have to do it. You think, God, that's a bit picky. But what happened when it was built was God came down into this place. See, if he would have gone, sure, that will just do. It looks religious. It looks holy. Sure, we just get the best stuff from there and the best stuff from there and we do this from here and look at the way they're doing it. And sure, we go to another tabernacle and we paint it the same color they're painting theirs because that seems to be the in color. God said, no, you do it that way, I'm not coming there. Because it's my way or no way. That's how important the Word of God is. That's when God speaks to us. That's how important. He says in verse 9 of the Bible. Listen to what he says. Exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle. All of its furnitures, you will make it that way. Exactly the way I'm showing you the pattern. Because God's patterns brings God's results into our lives and into this world. You know what Moses' response to God was? To worship him. He obeyed him and he gets back into a place. Do I need to hear you again, friend? Lord, is there something that I need to be softened up somewhere? The Word of God is paramount. What he speaks to you and me. It's paramount. It's everything. It's life. It's bread. It's honey. It's strength. It's fire. It's a hammer. It's everything he needs it to be. David in the Bible, King David, he goes off, he's on the run from Saul. Saul was the existing king, David was the new up-and-coming king that God had spoke to when he was 12 that he was going to be the king. And but Saul didn't want this, the king existing. He was on the run from Saul anyway. And he ends up with the Philistines, who is the enemy of the Israelites. And he ends up with them. He joined their raiding parties, and David and his men who were joined to him would go out and they would plunder and they would bring some of the riches back to the Philistine kings. And they would, like, David is a great, because David was a great warrior and his men were great warriors. So they're going out. The Philistines were leaving now to come and to fight the Israelites. And David and his mighty men were, like, at the back. And all the kings were like, yeah, we're good. We're going out against these Israelites. We're going to take them out. One king gets a bit freaked out and says, hang on a second. What if, and this is how incredibly powerful David and his men was. The Philistines could have had 50,000 men, army men. And there was a band with David. And he says, hang on, what if they turn on us? That's how fearsome and awesome David was in battle. What if that little band turns on us? Sure. Imagine we'd go, sure, we'd wipe them out. There's 50,000 of us. That's how awesome these men were. So they got freaked out, got a bit paranoid, send them back. Because if we're fighting the Israelites, they all start turning on us then, and then we weren't doomed. And they go back, and when they get back to the place where they were living, Ziklag, the whole place had been taken over, sacked by the Amalekites, another raiding party who had come from another tribe, came, took all the wives, all the children, all the livestock, everything that was of value came, they came and took. And David's men, it says, they wept bitterly, so much so that all their strength was gone. They looked at David, it's your fault. There's a price to pay for leadership. When it's going great,
praise King David. Saul killed thousands. David killed his tens of thousands. When it goes wrong, kill him. Drag him out. Get the stones. Pound him. The men wanted to kill him. These were men that fought in the battle with David. These were mighty warriors that the Philistines were afraid they'd turn on them. Was going to kill David. What did David do? What do you do when it goes wrong? He goes to the side of a hill. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel that he found strength in God. Now David was probably one of the most obvious worshippers in the Bible. It was David that wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd," with his harp. It was David that wrote the songs. He'd write words and he'd go, "Bring that to the worship leader and tell him to put music to that." I see, you read it all through the Psalms. The Psalm of David. He was a tremendous worshipper. So what did he do? He went to find strength in God to the side of a hill. And out of intimacy with God, God told him what to do. The word of God is vital. Hearing God, getting the word of God is vital to what we do next in our life and in what we're doing as a church. It's vital. And David said, the Bible says that he called the priest. And the priest Abiathar came. And that was a place of worship and seeking in God and sought after the word of God. And God spoke to him. And he says, "David, go after them, pursue them, overtake them, and retrieve everything that has been taken on you." Go after them, pursue them, overtake them, and retrieve everything. Now, when the word of God comes, it's not like a bland, like it's a good idea. But when the word of God comes, a strength comes with the word of God. A faith comes with the word of God. This is how you know it's the word of God. It's not just emotions. There's an action to the word of God. That David, you can imagine him. All these men wanted to kill him. "I'm getting out of here. I'm going to seek God. Because if not, I'm just going to be dealing with men that are dealing in grief and pain. I'm going to get away to seek God." And when the word of God came, the strength of God came. The faith of God came. "No, we can do this." How did he go from being in that place, maybe a bit down, but knowing what he needs to do, to going back to men who were sapped of strength? The word of God brought strength to the whole body. The word of God, that they were like, they all of a sudden they go, "Yeah, we're going to do it." The word of God. It started with the word of God, and it ended in the word of God. It says in 1 Samuel that they retrieved absolutely everything. Not one thing was lost. Why? Because they obeyed the word of God. Why the word of God? Because that's God's way. Why is it vital to hear God what you're doing? That's God's way. God's word becomes a sword when we need to battle. You have a word of God on your life. There's times when battle comes. What do we do when battle comes? Yeah, we may look at it naturally. Oh, it's just a natural thing. Or we can see it as a spiritual thing that is trying to divert us or rob the word of God or the pattern of God with the purposes of God for our lives. There's times when the word of God, you have to take that word and you have to start using it as a sword. Like, just say simple things. Like, because people struggle with things like this at the beginning of their walk and with God. "Maybe I'm not really a Christian." Anyone ever been there? You do something wrong. "Maybe I'm not really a Christian." When you get the word of God, how did you become a Christian? You heard the word of God. So you go, "No, the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord is saved. And if I'm saved, he's never going to leave me, not forsake me." So feelings, I don't care what you're thinking. I know what the word of God says. And then you declare that word, you confess that word, profess that word over your life, and your feelings start to come into alignment now with the word of God. Instead of trying to get the word of God to align with your feelings. But then you command your feelings to come in. Now you use the word of God as a sword. But what about if God has a promise on your life? There's times when you have to use it as a sword. There's times when you have to preach to yourself. You want to be a preacher? Start preaching to yourself. It's the best way. You give an altar call, you get saved every time. You even give money into the offering when you preach to yourself. No, wait, and I tell you, there's times when I've been down and out. There's times when I've had knife threats, gun threats, or people knocking at my door threatening to kill me when I lived in the flats. And what do you do? Or people talk about me, lie about me. People said I was this and that. And what do you do? Well, I'll tell you what I done, what I learned. I got into my room, and my room was cold, and I put on my morning coat. Well, it was Sharon's. It was white. And I tell you, I walked up and down, preaching the word of God. You called me to this place, Father. Lord, it's them that's going to have to buckle. I start to get confidence. Lord, save them or get rid of them out of this community. Why? Because there was time to battle. There's times when you take that word and you start pushing through with that word, no matter what circumstances are saying, when the facts is not always, facts and truths are not the same. People go by facts, but that's not always, that's truth is greater than facts. The facts could be you've nothing and you have a call of God in your life to do something. What are you going to do? That's when the rubber hits the road, amen? There's times in trouble when the word of God over your life, in your life, becomes strength, like David found it. There's times when the word of God becomes an oil in your life. There's times when that word of God becomes a hammer that breaks through walls to get the breakthrough in your life. There's times when you don't know where to go and that same word becomes a light unto your feet. There's times when that word becomes, in times that word becomes a fire in your belly. It's like Jeremiah into the bone. It's too late. Jeremiah says, they told him to shut up from preaching the word of God. And so he said, we don't want to hear another prophecy from you, Jeremiah. And he cries out, it's too late. It's like a fire in my bones. Even if I wanted to stop, I couldn't stop now. It's too late. Tell the devil it's too late. I'm not going back to my old life because why? It's too late. I'm snookered. It's when that word is activated. That's when the fire comes. There's times when the fire is out, you have to get up and activate it. You have to get up and just start praying and believing and start reaching out to God with the word that's over your life and over your family. And no, this is the word of God to me. And I'm holding on to this. What happened when David like received a word from God? Did you read David's life? He messed up so many times. Where did he go back to? The call of God on his life. Can you imagine him in Ziklag? Imagine him on the side of that hill. It doesn't say what he said to God. What I can imagine, there was times in David's life when he said, do you remember I was 12? I was up in the hills minding my dad's sheep. Remember that time, Lord, when I was minding my own business? I wrote songs. I worshipped you from an early age. But then my brother called me and says, you need to come to the house because there's a prophet called Samuel. And he wants to see you. Who, me? I'm the least. I'm the smallest. I'm the youngest. No, it's you he wants to see. He's not going to sit down till you come. That's what he said. So he comes in. God says to him, this is my man. He's going to be the next king of Israel. Samuel takes the horn of oil and pours it over him and starts speaking the word of God into his life. Where does David go? He goes back to mind the sheep. Can you imagine him up on the side of the mountain? While he's minding the sheep, a bear comes out, trying to kill his sheep. The presence of God comes on him. Psalm 92 says, David says, Lord, cover me in the day of battle. The covering of God came upon him when the bear comes out. The covering of God is the anointing of God, the oil of God that enables you to do what God calls you to do. The covering comes upon him. He jumps up to the bear and gives him a kick or something. Or maybe that's where he learned how to be so accurate with his sling. And he takes the bear out of it. And then the lion comes out and he does the same with a lion on another occasion. Now you can imagine him up on the mountainside. Lord, my men are going to kill me. My family is gone. What am I going to do? Lord, you remember that time you called me? Do you remember the prophet spoke a word into me? Do you remember, Lord, when the bear came out and the covering of God came upon me? Lord, remember that giant fella that came out and the covering came upon me? He gets stronger.
Lord, remember when I went out and Saul killed his thousands and I had victories with tens of thousands because you were with me. Lord, you remember that? Do you know what strength that gives you? And you remember I had no food, Lord, and the priest provided for me. And Lord, you remember I had no money and you came through with money. And Lord, you remember I failed you and you picked me up again. And all of a sudden he's getting strength. And before he knows, he's like, Lord, what will I do now? Go after them? When you're fired up by being with God, you go back down to people and they go, you know what? There's a word of God in his belly. And we're going to go after it. That's why the word of God is so important. And I love when people come to me. You know, I've learned a lot over these 23 years. I love when people come to me and goes, no, I want to get involved in this ministry because God told me. Now, you can't believe how music that is to my ears. But I also know that we can be immature and that we can think we hear God, and it doesn't work out that way. You know, God's called me to do this and this and this and this and this and this. And I think, how long are you going to live to be 700 years of age? But I love when people come and say, God told me to get involved. You know why that's music to us as leaders? Because if God told you, God will keep you there. And that you won't run away when there's a battle because the word of God will keep you there. And even if you do run away, the word of God brings you back. Do you remember I told you to do that? Do it. Remember I told you about the little tabernacle thing? Do it that way because that's where I'll come through for you. I love it. It's music. You know, you don't have to convince them or buy people to do things in the church when God speaks to them. They're there because God spoke it to them. They're there because, look, it's cold out, but God spoke to me. I'm a faithful man or woman of God because God spoke to me. The word of God is in me. What if the word of God is about being a king in the future? What if the word of God is for you to have a tremendous ministry in the future? David's word was what they call a foretelling word. There's two words that the prophets used to give. One was a foretelling, meaning that this is coming in the future. David was only 12. He wasn't going to be king the next day, but he was in the future. Do you get me? And then there's a foretelling word, meaning there's somebody is sick and God says, I'm going to heal them now. It's a now word. It's a word that takes the word of God and it's applicable to their lives right in that moment, in that situation, whatever that may be. And some people get mixed up with, I'm going to be a prophet to the nation. Yeah, but you don't have to wash your neck, son. You never once served anybody. You never once gave a penny into an offering. You think you're going to be the next great prophet tomorrow? No, you have a journey to go on. And David had a foretelling word. So what did he do in the meantime? He served his father. What did he do in the meantime? He served his house. He obeyed his authorities. He went in and he got trained with Saul. He went in and got trained in the Bible College of Hard Knocks, in the Bible College of being rejected by leaders. This can't be the will of God for my life. No one recognizes my anointing. Just ask David. It's all in the training. It's all in the training. There's a long way to go with the word of God. That's a foretelling word. There's a long way to go. There's a lot of things that you're going to learn. There's a lot of knocks you're going to have to take because when you get to sit on the throne, you will know the faithfulness of God. You will know what it is for God to lift you up when you fail. You'll know what it is for God to help you overcome disappointments. You will know what it is because God doesn't put immature people sitting on a throne that can damage people. He puts people that have seasoned and that have gone through and has learned how to trust God in the preparation. David had a seed in him of God, a word of God, a seed of God that had a DNA that was absolutely dynamic. Nothing could take this man out. I'm a student of his life. He kills a man, gets a man killed, so he could have his wife. Imagine the failure and the sense of failure that he felt when Nathan came to him and said, David, you've robbed that man's wife. You're a murderer. He goes and when he realizes what he'd done, he gets sackcloth and ashes, a sign of repentance and a sign of humiliation before God. And he put it on him and he waited there and waited. Now you can imagine him up on the hill when he was saying to God, Lord, remember when you took the joint out and remember the fire that was coming? Now imagine the opposite. He's completely knows he failed. He's not sitting on the side of a mountain. He's under a sackcloth. And maybe his words started off, God, remember you called me. God, I failed you so much. I'm a murderer now. I murdered Uriah. I've taken his wife. My firstborn is going to be dead as a result of that. What have I brought upon my family? But the seed that was in him caused him to rise again, even out of that failure. There's something dynamic in the word of God when it's placed into a life and it's placed into good soil, and that soil is nurtured. It's like, it's as Peter said, it's indestructible. It cannot be conquered. It's like, even when we fail, that same inconquerable, indestructible, uncorruptible word of God starts to sprout new things out. But Lord, look what I've done. And the word of God, the indestructible, unconquerable word of God starts sprouts up. No, but there's forgiveness. Oh, and the word of God starts to germinate. The word of God starts to sprout something. We start to see, the buds, and then he starts to see the fruit. Yet there is forgiveness. No wonder he writes Psalm 51. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me, Lord. Cleanse me with hyssop, Lord. The word of the indestructible word started to sprout. David, remember. Remember, I'm a forgiven God. As far as the east is from the west, I will cast your sin away from you. I'm a God. We sing it. We sing it. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. David is in there, and the word of God is sprouting out this stuff. Remember, my love is higher than the heavens. It's incredible, isn't it? Incredible word of God. The word of God has sustainability in it. I don't know. I'm 23 years a Christian. Peter's 30 years a Christian. I don't know how I'm still here. But I do know that there was a seed put in me. An incorruptible, indestructible, unconquerable seed put in me. That I'm still here 23 years later. Not with the same fire, with more fire. Because the word of God, the seed grows. And that growth is not that thing. It's not just for bread for me to eat, but it's for seeds for me to sow. And that seed is sown. And someone went up to somebody at the conference this weekend, and they said, "Noel, I knew they belonged to your house." Why? He says, "Because there was a fire in them." I was like a proud dad. What comes out of the kitten is in the. What comes out of the cat is in the kitten. It flows from the head. It's in you. The word of God is in you. It's in you. It has bounce back ability. To use an old Alan Hansen word. Not like you think you're out, but the seed in you has bounce back ability. You know, how did he come back from that? It's the seed in him. It's bounce back ability. Ability that is in the seed to cause us to come back. Amen. Amen. And what do you do while you're waiting for him to get from the word of God to the word of God? Do you get me? God has something for you. You do what David done. You serve. You start off somewhere. You obey authorities. David, in the waiting, learned how to kill a giant. Along the waiting, God learned you to kill giants. David learned how to handle popularity. Imagine, this is what happened. You're going up O'Connell Street, and all the women are on the side with the tambourines. David was a handsome man. Rugged, handsome. Reminds me of myself. I look in the mirror when I read that statement of David. I go, "No, you're in the noise." Imagine going up O'Connell Street, handsome. And all the women are like, "You're beautiful, David. You've brought great victories, David. Saul was good, but see you. You're better. You're darn better. You're better than him by 10,000. He learned how to handle popularity. He learned how to not let go to his head. He learned how not to make it about him. It says of Saul that he built a monument to himself. David learned how to not build monuments to himself. Because it was the destruction of Saul. Popularity, look how great I am. And he started building and building. David learned how to end the waiting. Before he got to the throne. Because if popularity doesn't get to you here, it won't get to you there. You have to learn. He learned how to come back from failures. He learned how to lead different types of people. He learned how to lead outcasts of society and leaders of society. David learned in the waiting how to form new leaders and how to handle seasoned leaders. He learned how to follow the word of the Lord when it went wrong. He learned how to handle the word of God when the enemy came on top. It's everything. The word of God is everything. The Logos word, the written word, and the Rhema word, the now word for your life. The prophetic word that's in your life. It is absolutely dynamic and imperative that what God said, you obey. What God says you do, you do it his way, you get his results. Very quickly, we've been in Bray 2 years now. And a couple of months ago, prior to Christmas, the Lord says to me, Orris, I don't get frustrated easy. Maybe Sharon would say different, but I don't think, and the leaders probably tell you, I don't get frustrated that easy. Or maybe it's because I'm a bit dim, I don't see things as quick as everyone else, but anyway. But I was out in Bray and I was frustrated. Now, I knew there was work to do in Bray. And Bray, at the beginning, it was a job of work. Is that what you say, Peter? A job of work it was. And I'm up for that. I'm up for that. The grace of God is on me to break through things. So one night before Christmas, I got really frustrated. I was like, Lord, why is this not breaking open for us? And I'm not talking about seeing thousands saved. I'm just talking about in the meeting. And God spoke to me. He says, I'm not out in Bray. Now, when God says something like that to you, he wants to get something. He wants to get your attention. So I goes home. I didn't say anything. Rob says to me the next day, how did Bray go? I says, Rob, you wouldn't believe how discouraged I was last night. Do you remember this, Rob? And Rob, what? You're getting discouraged about this? And he was genuinely shocked. And I says, but God spoke to me. And I went and sought God. Now, God didn't answer me. But you know what he did say to me? You know how to get me out and pray. He answered me with another type of statement. You know how to get me. How do I get you there, Lord? Do what I told you to do at the beginning. I realized, and we'd realize, we never established our prayer grounds. God said to us at the beginning, way back, no prayer, no power. Go. So what did I do? Go back to the word of God originally he gave me. You know why we staked out Clondalkin and Bray? Because God told me to do that nearly 20 years ago. Go back to what I told you. It's not just about what books are good. Don't get me wrong. I'm a monster for reading books. But it's not about what Andy Stanley says. And you might learn some things about mechanics of stuff. But it doesn't matter what anybody says. It's what God said to us. Because only when we do what God says to us will we get what God wants us to get. Do you get me? So we did it. And now we're going to see growth. And now we're going to see new things, bud. Why? Because it's God's way. So here, we have time. We want to pray. Maybe the Lord has not spoken a specific word to you. What do I do while I'm waiting on the word of God? Become a worshiper. Get on your own with God and just tell him how great he is. Put on a song if that helps you. Try and make it last 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Get it to the place where you're up to an hour. Just telling him how great he is and wonderful and awesome. No prayer requests, no nothing. Believe me, all them things fall away when you get a hold of him anyway. It's like, oh, you don't even come into your mind. Because out of worship comes intimacy. And out of intimacy comes the word of God. And don't get freaked out from this day. I need to hear God. It's not so much your ability to hear God that matters. It depends on his ability to get his word to you that matters. Does that make sense? So Lord, I'd fast for another 50 days just to hear the word of the Lord. Praise God, he will honor some things. But it's not your ability to hear them. It's his ability to get his word to you that you depend on. Are you with me? That's an important point. Because you can drive yourself mad. I'm doing this, and I'm still not hearing from God. Come a worshiper. And you'll hear his voice. What will I do in the meantime? Exactly what David done. Serve. Put your hand to something. Serve in the house. Serve in one of the outreaches. Do something. Put your hand to something. So that you're faithful with little things and God gives you other things. The worship team would come back. We're going to end with that song, "This Is My Desire." Maybe the Lord has spoken a word to you and it needs to be fanned, or you felt little seeds bursting up as I was preaching. Yeah. I remember that word. You need to fan it into flame this morning. You need to remind yourself. You need to remind your circumstances. You need to remind the heavenlies. You need to remind the devil. No, God has a word, an indestructible word inside of me. Maybe you have a word of God and you're in training and you're walking the walk. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servants. Well done. Keep walking. Now, you've had your knocks, you've had your disappointments, but God has trained you. You know, you ask any man of God that has been a bit down the road. I don't know how James says, consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations and all this. So I read James and go, James, are you off your trolley? You're counting it joy when you go through. But you ask any man or woman of God that when they look back over all their trials, they'll say, I wouldn't change them for nothing. They made me the man of God I am. They made me the woman of God I am. So no wonder James couldn't say, I'm telling you, he's saying from hindsight, he's saying, look, at this is what it does. It makes you the man and woman of God. So they're not your enemy, they're your friends. They make you, they shape you. They won't kill you. I'll tell you why, because the word of God is in you. The indestructible word. Maybe you need a word from God. The best way I can tell us together is to worship. Just be a worshiper. Jesus said, my Father is looking for worshippers. He didn't say pastors or preachers or anything. My dad is looking for someone who knows how to worship me in spirit and truth.